out. Have any of you been on long journeys recently? Perhaps to go and visit friends and family over Christmas or for a special day out? Anyone been on a long journey? And did any of you set out while it was still dark? Well, some of our family, it wasn't me, I have to say, some of our family did the Three Peaks just before Christmas. And it was dark when they set out, and it had also become dark again when they got back. But fortunately, the daylight appeared during the middle of the day, and the cloud eventually lifted off the top of the hills, and they could see where they were going. Well, today in our reading, we hear from Isaiah about people who are walking in darkness all the time. He says, "Thick darkness covered the earth and all the people." What do you think walking in darkness would be like? I'm going to wander around and ask a few people, what would it feel like to walk in darkness all the time? Anyone done that? A bit scary. Yeah, a bit scary. You can't see where your feet are. Yeah, so you might stumble and trip over things. You might break a leg. Some of us have done that. Yeah, what would it be like? How would it feel? Do you think you get lost? Yeah. Has anybody been walking on the hills and you end up coming down in the dark? It takes a lot longer, doesn't it? It takes a lot longer walking in the dark. So, yes, it's hard. And Isaiah, he writes a lot about light and dark. And we tend to hear this phrase, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light." He's written that a few times in his book. And we hear it around Christmas time because it captures that image of Jesus, the light, coming into the world to bring light to places that were dark. Now, in the Bible, darkness tends to mean what makes people feel really far away from God, what makes them stumble, lose their way. And these people in the book of Isaiah who are walking in darkness were probably despairing, struggling with life, having difficulty finding their way. But then, here is his message of encouragement and hope. Isaiah says, "Look, light is shining on you. Look up, lift up your eyes. Help is at hand. God himself is shining on you." Now, Isaiah's role as a prophet was to call the people back to God, to encourage their faith, to help them see God at work, to believe his promises that everything would be restored. Change is coming. Don't give up. And he says, "My people will be radiant. When you look up, you will be radiant." Now, the word he uses here is the same word that's used in Exodus when Moses went up the mountain. When he's been up the mountain with God, his face is shining. It's the same word. It's something that happens to people when God is close to them, when God shines on them, and other people can see it too. Can you think of people who are radiant? They don't have to say anything. They're just radiant. Christians who obviously have such a warm relationship with God, it touches everyone else around them. We want more of that, don't we? So the blessing that was on its way to these people was physical in terms of people being brought home, material in terms of wealth and riches being brought to Jerusalem, and spiritual, God's light, his glory shining on them. And Isaiah says this will raise your spirits. It will bring hope for the future, fill you with joy. Joy, you know that feeling you get when you receive some really good news? You'll be filled with that feeling. Your hearts will swell with joy. What a wonderful prospect, being full of hope and joy. We need a lot more of that in our world today, don't we? And then Isaiah says, "Caravans of camels will come from the land of Sheba, bringing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord." And that's our link with the gospel reading that I've just read. Sheba is the area where the Magi are thought to have come from. So who were the Magi? We've got a few other names for them, haven't we? The three kings, the wise men, Some of them might have been women, actually. They were highly educated people from the East, maybe from Persia. They were good at astrology and interpreting dreams. And they weren't Jews, but they were searching for God. We don't know too much about them, but we do know from the Bible that they brought the very best of what they had to give to Jesus, and they wanted to worship him. Matthew's gospel tells us all about the search, what they saw in the night sky, how they made their journey to find Jesus, looking expectantly at the night sky when the earth was covered in darkness was probably something they had to do night after night. But they kept going. And one night, something hugely significant happened. And they knew that the King of the Jews had been born because of the change in the stars and one particular bright star. And that changed everything. So more than just knowing about him, they wanted to go and see him for themselves. And their extravagant gifts tell us just how much he meant to them. Now, I'm sure we've all taken gifts to new babies. Has anyone taken gold to a new baby? Now, we usually think of other things, don't we? So we all think of giving gifts to new babies. And the Magi brought really extravagant gifts. Does anybody know what the gifts mean? So the first one is gold. What does gold mean? Kingship. Yeah, kingship. It means he was a king. It's what you give to the king, and it's what kings have lots of. And frankincense or incense. Smells really nice. Frankincense. What does that mean? Who uses that? Priestly, yeah, it's something that it symbolizes prayers rising to God, and it's something that priests use, and in some churches, we don't use it here, but some churches, they use it in their worship. It's about worship and priesthood, and myrrh. Now, myrrh, what does that mean? What do we use that? Well, we don't use it really, do we? But what was that associated with? Embalming, yeah, so death, suffering, dying. And of course, as we know later on in the Gospels, that was used later on in the life of Jesus when he died and he was anointed. So I think God's light shone on these people and on the Magi. And I think they then recognized that special star, what that meant, who that was about. But they recognized him even more when they met him. They recognized him, and their choice of gifts reflects what they thought about him. And as Phil said earlier, that's what Epiphany means, the revealing of Jesus, the light of the world. Now, those Magi, they went on a journey that may have taken a few months in order to meet him. So he was in a house. He wasn't in a stable any longer. He was growing a little bit. And it involved a detour when they went to Herod's palace. But God used that detour, just like he does when we have detours on our lives sometimes. They got there in the end. And by offering their gifts and worshipping him, their lives were changed. Now, this is Bethlehem today. Gifts were very significant, and so was the place. Bethlehem is where this happened, and it's still a really significant place today. Bethlehem is where some of the key figures in the Bible lived. It's where King David was anointed king. It's where the prophet Micah said the Messiah would be born. And of course, it's where Jesus was born. So we celebrate Epiphany and the gifts of the Magi on this first Sunday in a new year, at a time of new beginnings. For some of us, we may be very glad to see the back of 2019. We may be hoping for better times in 2020. It may be that for some of us, last year was a bit of a struggle, or even that we felt a bit lost. But nighttime can be an essential part of the journey in which God invites other possibilities and we see new things. And maybe for some of us, we can testify to that. But now we're in this new year, and there's this thing called the fresh start effect. When we draw a line under last year's experiences and we start again and make a fresh start. A bit like a New Year's resolution. It's good. It can be energizing and liberating. but it can also be unsettling too. So as you know, I'm getting ready to go out into something new for a few months as I go to help them in Farsley. For me, it is energizing and I'm looking forward to it because I feel sure that God has called me to step out into this new role. And I can see that I have the skills that they need just now. But it is a bit unsettling too, because it's a move away from what I'm familiar with. So I really appreciate your prayers this morning, and your ongoing prayers for all of us in Farsley in the next few months. And it's at times like this that we can be confident of God's character. Those of you who were here last week will have heard Phil's sermon, and if you didn't, do listen to it on the website. He said, remember God's character in the past. And I know that the God who has been with me in the past will be with me in this coming year too. We can all hold on to that. God's character doesn't change. God is faithful, and he will look after us as we move into the new year as well. So I wonder, what has God in mind for you this year? Are you looking out for new things? Are you looking out for what God is doing in your life? I'm not suggesting you stay awake and look at the stars every night, but there are other ways in which we can stay awake and look and reflect and just think about, now, what's God saying now? What new thing might God be calling me to do? What might need a little bit of confidence, but actually, if it's the thing God's calling you to, he's already opened up the way for you. He's been there first and prepared it for you. I wonder if you can see God at work, where you are, where you live, at school, at work, in this church. This might be a good time to ask, what can I contribute? What can I give? How can I get more involved? Some of you may have been using the Follow the Star reflections that the Church of England has produced. There's a wonderful app that's been out there, and we've had a link to it in the notice sheet. You can get emails and have a look at the app. It's still going. It goes until tomorrow. And they talk about treasures not always being physical. Gifts cannot always be touched. Each of us has gifts and talents within us, and we can each make an offering of our own. And our gifts are part of the story in our work, in our homes, in our churches, in our community. Our gifts show who we are and what we bring to the world around us. Just like the gifts of the Magi, they were an expression of who they were, but what they knew, what they were bringing to Jesus, who they knew he was. So as we go into this coming week, let's reflect on what our gifts are and what God might be calling us to do with them. Amen.